Blog Talk Radio.
Her beauty is classical. The presence of her being inspires soldiers who would fight for the cause of a people who are darker than blue. For her contribution, we have sworn a solemn oath to protect her today's and her inevitable tomorrows. She is the muse of men who would embrace the requirements of a peculiar and definitive African history. She is the feminine personification of all that is the best of Africa. Her aroma is that of an ancient freshness. Beauty has signed a petition to be referred to from now on as her. We are all looking for beauty in our lives. She is the original footprint from the foothills of the mountains of the moon. The vibration of her voice reveals the struggle of a people who have not yet been vindicated. The waters of her thoughts are a blessing to a man who has only known the desert of unfulfilled redemption. Victory is mine, but when? She answers, when I am restored to my throne. She answers, when I am restored to my throne. Her answer revealed to me that she is a monarch in exile, a queen mother who wants her village back, a queen mother who needs her village back. She is mama, she is sister, and she is daughter Africa, all wrapped up into one. We are all looking for beauty in our lives. Her strength comes from a prophetic lineage. The prophecy is that we must fight. We must fight so that we may be reborn into new men and women, so that we may become the oldest Africans by becoming the newest Africans. For our purposes, she has redefined the phrase, the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. Yes, she is the chief priestess of a new religion called Sankofa. Her powers are legendary. The spirits have passed an eternal torch to her. I have seen her luminescence. Beauty has signed a petition to be referred to from now on as her. We are all looking for beauty in our lives.
Welcome to the Black Womaniverse. This is your host, Goddess Tara, also known as Goddess Seek Wisdom. Today is Sunday, October 11th, 2009, and we have a very, very, very important guest coming on today. Her name is Nubia Wardford. She is a Black anthropologist. So the information that she will be presenting today is of the utmost importance for everyone to hear, but it's very important for the Black woman to hear the information that she is going to share with us today. But before we get into the information that our guest is going to speak of, we want to get into some information in reference to our sponsors and things of that nature. This radio show and the social network that is aligned with it, which is the Black Woman's Health, Ning.com, is to promote the empowerment of, and this is the spiritual, the physical, emotional, mental, economic, and educational empowerment of Black women everywhere, globally, universally. And some of our sponsors that help us to do that, of course, is the blackwomenshealth.ning.com, which is a social network for the Black women to link up and share information, to promote that empowerment that we just mentioned. The Order of Ma'at.ning.com is also a sister network of Black Womaniverse. And, of course, DivineChemistry.com, and that's spelled DivineKhemestry.com, also in connection with the Divine Community Connections. All right, so now that we have gotten that out of the way, we are going to play another selection while we wait for our chat room to fill up and we wait for our guests. So without further ado, let me see which selection I'm going to pick.
Try.
y'all know that's my jam, right? But we have a very important guest coming on, so I had to, you know, cut it a little short because she has some very, very important information to share. I'm so excited about this show today. I'm jumping out of myself right now. Before I bring her on, I just want to give two very important quotes because my spirit resonates with these two quotes. One is, no nation can rise higher than its woman. And that was a quote by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The other quote is, and I feel this quote is the true embodiment of Ma'at, the goddess Ma'at. And the quote is, the world of humanity is possessed of two wings, the masculine and the feminine. So long as these two wings are not equivalent in strength, the bird will not fly. And this was a quote by Abdul Baha. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring our guest on, Nubia Wardford. How
Hello.
Are you today, Sister Nubia?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Sister Tara.
Wow. I am so honored to have you on today. I told you I'm excited. I'm so excited.
I'm excited to be on the show. I'm always excited to talk to sisters that are in like mine and understand the importance of being the keepers of a culture.
Wow. Wow. See, y'all can see already why I love her.
Yeah.
I just want to give a shout-out to everyone in the chat room. People are trickling in, as they normally do at the beginning of the shows. I wanted to give a shout-out to Ebony Women of the Diaspora, which is Pastor Flowers, and Jade 08, and at Peace 71, and also the guests we have in the chat room. Sister Nubia, can you give us, for those of us who may not have heard of you before, can you tell us who you are and what you do? And I guess we could start off there.
Yeah, I'm sure the whole world has never heard of me, actually, so that won't
well,
be hard to find
people. About you, and we got it on the mountaintop today.
My name is Sister Nubia Wardford Polk. I am a woman that is an aspiring cultural scientist. That is, that I study archaeology. My specific area of study is ancient Nubia, and I will be embarking upon the reality of my lifetime, which I've been working on for several years, to waiting for my daughter to grow up and become a woman, so that I could, you know, let the little birdie out the nest, so we could go back to studying archaeology. She is also, I have to give a shout out to her because she is actually studying to be a midwife.
Wow!
And I'm really, really proud of her.
Yeah.
There you know, aspiring to do so many great things. That's the first mission of women, is to usher a new life into the world. But it's so important because we have Nubia is the underdeveloped civilization as far as study and research, I have become a supervisor of archaeological site in the area of ancient Nubia outside of the Meroe pyramids, and we think that this site is a residential site, that people lived there, that it could have been a temple, could have been a dwelling, and we're doing infrared photography, and I've got a scholarship at the University of Khartoum, so I'm looking forward to going there about a month before and beginning the excavations. The team, I should say, is Richard Loben, an anthropologist, head of our anthropology department from Rhode Island College, two other team members, one from Moscow and of the former Soviet Union, and one from Italy. And I'm the African-American woman on the team. I also will be doing an internship at the National Museum of Sudan. And I'm the first to get a scholarship at this time from the University of Khartoum. And I just want to lead the way to usher other women who are in there, because, you know, the more brains we can get on this, the more we can get out of it. And we have to be on the business of primary research, because, you know, we're letting other people interpret our history for us. And it is now time for us to understand the importance of it and take the helm and decide to study what is important for us, as well as, you know, and we won't delete facts, history, to leave the tenets of racism and white supremacy out and just really just open up this field to people to understand and know what's going on.
Wow. Well, me personally, I humble myself, and, you know, I want to say thank you on behalf of the other black women who are listening to the show live and archive and those who have not come to this realm of awareness yet. What you have done and what you're about to do is major in terms of herstory.
Well, yeah, the more importantly,
it's all history, but it's just, it's very important to have an African-American woman doing this.
Well, just a woman of African descent, whether she be from the African continent or the African diaspora, is just, you know, because this field has definitely been dominated by men, period. And men who weren't open-minded, the school of thought was just not promoting all this. And I really thank Richard Loban for giving me my first position as a supervisor of an archaeological site, because that brings up my legitimacy to other people, you know,
right.
really up there, that raised the bar on myself. So I said, oh gosh, now I gotta get up to my own bar. And it's really, really just going to be a unique opportunity. And I really look forward to what we find there, because we just don't know. We just haven't done the work as far as investigating what's under there. So we don't really know. But, my area of research will be, as you know, I spoke to Tara in length. My first telephone conversation with her was phenomenal. She's a phenomenal woman, too. And she knows just as much as me, I tell you the truth. And she's studying, you know, I'm studying a pedemec, which, you know, when I mention a pedemec to people, most people don't even know who that is. And Sister Tara knows who it is and, you know, what it is. And it's a female lion, and a pedemec is a lion, rather, and it is questionable whether it's female or male. In some ways it looks male, in some ways it looks female, depending on the use, if it means wealth, potential, power, fertility. I think it's represented by as a woman lioness, and if it's represented in strength, ferocity, and power, it's a male lion. So just the use of that iconography, which has gone down in monotheistic history, is a wonderful thing, and I look forward to studying that as well.
All right. Now, when we spoke, you mentioned we discussed so much information. I'm just trying to go back to my mental notebook and figure out which one to pull up first. I know we did have a lengthy conversation in reference to Goddess Neith.
Right.
Some people have never heard of Goddess Neith. Some people don't know, you know, who that is, or have a misunderstanding of who Goddess Neith is. Could we get into that? Could you speak to that?
Yes. Goddess Neith is a goddess once done a commentary, and I'm looking for actually that excerpt from Rinoco Rashidi and a book that I'm looking at right now. And in Goddess Neith, she's not actually a goddess. She is a god. She is the highest form of worship. And we find Neith in ancient Nubia and ancient Kemet, N-E-I-T-A-H, and she is a representative of God. And we know that she is the oldest image of God,
right.
And she is represented in white alabaster or white marble, and that's the oldest. Rinoco Rashidi, of those of you all, he's on Facebook, so you all go and type away and ask him a host of questions regarding Neith, because Neith is a very important person who needs to be further studied. Because there's very little known about her.
All right. I want everyone to know you can call in with your questions. Our call-in number is 646-716-7675.
Mm-hmm.
Before we go to the switchboard or anything, though, I know there's a litany of information that you felt was very important to get out to to people of African descent, period, and to people anywhere who's listening. So I'm not going to hold you. I want you to just speak on anything that your spirit is telling you to speak on today. Because I'm hoping that we can get you back on, too, eventually.
Okay.
So, you know, just speak on anything you feel.
Well, I will be, thank you, Tara. I mean, that's quite an honor, you know, because I have so many areas of interest, but the one that we were talking about is the Venus of Wallendorf. On the Venus of Wallendorf, who you studied, we believe that's an African sister. The way her head is made in her hair, and we think that this was an African object that people, that nomadic ethnic groups carried from place to place because it was an object of importance. In that time period, it was not at all, you know, it was not, anytime nomads carry things, it has to be useful. They don't carry anything that's not important to them, first of all. And so for them to have the Grimaldi culture, which they say in Germany, carry these little Venuses around. But when I went to the Nubian Museum, it is a fact that there are similar artifacts. Actually, they're even more finely done. So you can, and they're not 40,000 years old. They may be about 6,000 years old. But these little dolls, little ceramic or rock dolls, carved rock dolls, which are finely done, are carried around from place to place, too, and are thought of as toys. But the most likely, because it's made out of stone, it probably is not a toy. It's probably an object of importance, possibly worship, possibly iconography for altar, possibly, you know, having to do with religious worship. So it's very hard to tell whether the doll is for a play doll or whether it's a child's doll. We would have had to have been back there in that time. But, you know, there is evidence that Africans were visiting Germany over 40,000 years ago. And we're not talking about Neanderthals. We're talking about human beings. There were a mixture, a co-mixture of two different types of living beings standing on foot. And they were ape-like beings as well as there were human beings at that time. And we know that from the family groups, evidence of culture, evidence of use of pots and pans and things, which ones were human and which ones were not, which ones were living more animal-like. So that was one of the things we talked about. We also talked about there's a wealth of information. I do have tomorrow will be my last day doing a local Detroit, local suburban, it's in Highland Park. Detroit is really a suburb of Detroit, but actually encompasses Detroit, surrounds that small city. And it's my last day doing that. You can find that on the internet at www.tv33whpr.com. That's www.tv33whpr.com. And that comes on Monday, 7 p.m. at 7:30. And I have two wonderful guests with me. My Medu Netra teacher, Ashibear Macharia, and Banachi Montgomery, that are developing a Medu Netra, which is Egyptian hieroglyphics writing class online, and are working with an institute already that are doing that. And it'll be wonderful just to talk. I have a short interview with them, and I'm going to talk about both of their work in Kemetic history and Kemetic writing, as well as talk about Ashibear Macharia's art. He's an accomplished artist as well. And, you know, just trying to get that information out, because African culture was on such a high level more than 6,000 years ago, with women having positions of leadership, women running universities, women being doctors, teachers, business owners. Men had to marry women to obtain wealth and power. You know, women were marrying up to five men for that, because men, you know, we're not sure if they were all conjugal husbands, which is not important. That's not the most important fact. But the most important fact is that this was done, and there's been quite a turnaround in the way the structure is done, the family structure is done in poly marriage, and that was allowable at that time because people understood the value and the importance of women. If you elevate a woman, you started out with your quote, but if you elevate the woman, you elevate the nation because the woman is the first teacher. And they understood that with no denial, with no stutter in their way of life, in their way of thinking, in their way of schooling. They put women first. And when women subjugate themselves under men, they also don't achieve as much because the men don't let them. Women have to be in a state of freedom. Of course, negotiating with your mate was done, I'm sure, then. I wasn't at the conversation table 6,000 years ago. But if you live with somebody, you got to negotiate to some degree. But as far as thinking that you are the lord over the woman, that pretty much did not exist. It couldn't have because the women were in the position of prominence in the family, and the men had to ask the women certain things. So we have we have evidence of a lot of this wonderful history, and it's not something that, you know, I didn't go searching for this history. When I started researching and I started reading, this is the information that I came up with, which is so interesting. You know, when you start doing research, you don't really know what you're going to come up with. You just kind of keep on searching, and you go from one thing to the other, and then you go from one interesting fact, and you come up with so many things that you really didn't foresee that you were going to come up upon. Oh, I did. I just found the article on NEET, and I want to share this writing. NEET, or NIT, was one of the earliest of North African goddesses and can be traced back to at least 4,000 B.C. She is called the oldest of all gods, who was already born when nothing else existed. Like Ptah, she was left, begotten, and self-produced. She is an early example of the Great Mother, who in the form of the white vulture pierced her own thigh to bring forth blood needed to nurse and sustain her young. That is an analogy towards birth, of course. In the form of the vulture, she was impregnated by the wind. In her anthropomorphic manifestation, Neith appears as an adult female with a red crown. The red crown was the royal headgear of Lower Egypt. For although she may have been originated in the south, which is Nubia, she was the beginning of dynastic Egypt, firmly entrenched in the north, and particularly at Sais in the western delta. So this is really, really, this is written by Renoko Rashidi, African Goddesses, Mothers of Civilization. But she is the oldest of all gods and self-produced, which means we talked about self-regeneration, spontaneous generation, which what we find is that in these myths, that's how they translate scientific facts. You know, myth, for lack of a better word, because we don't know if this is myth or this is fact. It's to be researched and found out. But it's just very interesting that all these analogies and giving credence to the research that ancient Nubia is much, much, much older. Once you have a representation of a goddess in a hierarchy of leadership and a hierarchy of actually religious practices, usually the civilization is quite well established, which means it's very old. The civilization is definitely older than 6,000 years old. We know that we're finding things 100,000 years old and all kinds of things. And, people always go back to talk about Sumeria is as old as 250,000 years old. We know that that is also a Kushite satellite. It's part of the Kushite Empire as well. So it's still, whether it's right in Kush or whether it's right back in ancient Nubia, is part of the same culture. So those are some of the really important things that I want to share. The language, the importance of studying the oldest culture in the world, also doing the primary research, where we're finding physical evidence to validify what these texts are saying that are over 4,000 years old.
Wow. I'm just speechless at the information that's available for those who actually research it.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of information available. There's a lot of information available. And that comes from Black Women in Antiquity by the late Ivan Van Sertima. Ronoko Rashidi has writings in it. And as we know, he was a protege of John Henry Clark, as well as the late, great Ivan Van Sertima as well. And both of the late greats are John Henry Clark. And we have to, you know, even though Ronoko Rashidi has no degrees, he is definitely the one that I look forward to studying with, because he is the king of primary research, finding evidence. And he has found evidence that no one else has ever found. Culture, evidence of Black culture all over the world. Artifacts. Primary research, he is the king of primary research, and just the king of diligence, dedication, and loyalty to the research of our lost information.
Definitely. I mean, when you look at Dr. John Henry Clark, Ivan Van Sertima, Dr. Ben, and Ronoko Rashidi, that's wow. I mean, the books, the lectures, and Ronoko Rashidi, the pictures, the evidence. I mean, you know, the African presence in Asia, African presence in India, I mean, everywhere. I mean, he has made a huge contribution. No degree could ever compare to the contribution that he has made to our culture and our history. So, you know, wow.
Yeah, so it's, and when studying with Ivan Van Sertima, it's the closest that you can get to John Henry Clark, and, you know, who is my other, I have to use balance, my other sister that I feel that I, every word I hang on is Mama Marimba Ani, because she, also a protege of John Henry Clark, and has really taken that work to a spiritual level. Of course, you know, she is the author of the wonderful book Yorugu, that actually dissects the race is mine, and compares it to African worldview and how Africans viewed the world, and how to reset our mind so that we can free ourselves from the confines of this very, very limited thinking, westernized limited thinking. And that's how our ancient cultures aspired to the high levels, because their thinking was not limited, their thinking was just not limited. It's definitely evident in the kinds of things that they were accomplishing, and the kinds of things women were doing. Especially if you want to see how advanced the culture is, you go first and check what, Tara?
I'm sorry.
If you want to see how advanced the civilization, what is one of the first things you check? Check for? I'm sure you know. You check to see how their women are relegated.
You look at where the women are in the society, and of course you then go to some of the linguistics and things of that nature. But most importantly, you go to look at how they treated their women in the society.
How they treat their women, and if they treat their women poorly, then it's a infantile culture. So because
and looking at that. How are we treating our women currently?
Mm-hmm. Well, this culture is very backwards, very new. American culture, you know, which emanated out of the jails and insane asylums, it's a very new type of culture, and it's definitely not one that is supportive of letting women lead the way, or if a woman has a gift to promote and support that gift, and you know, it just isn't that sort of culture. But way back when, when we're talking about over 4,000 to 6,000 years ago, we know for sure that people were promoting the woman, women were in high advanced positions, whereas this society is just getting to that point today. And still, there's this push and pull. You know, what do we do? Do the women, how is the society balanced? When the best European example, of course, is Sweden, who, that's the best European example, but that is not duplicated anywhere in Western Europe or Western thinking, Western Hemisphere. So it's something that they're having a hard time with.
One other thing we spoke about during our, 3-hour conversation.
Right.
We were on the call for a minute and didn't even realize it. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we touched upon was some artifacts, and we spoke about Lucy, or Dankinette, which is the
right
name for Lucy. And I just got an email a while ago from Mommy Saru. She sent an email out about a find they found in Ethiopia, a 4.4-million-year-old. I don't have an article right in front of me, although I can locate it. They just found, and this isn't a recent find, but they're just putting it out to the public, that they just found a, they said it's a woman, but it's not Homo sapiens sapiens.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
But that's what they found in Ethiopia. But you touched upon a artifact that they found in, I'm not sure, but it's like a European artifact, and they were trying to say that this, what they found was older than Dankinette.
Yeah, there are fossil remains somewhere near Germany that are somewhere closer to 5-6 million years ago, but that's Homo sapien. It's not Homo sapiens sapiens.
Right.
And even though it's older, it's not. Dankinette is the closest. She's human. Darn
right.
Near. She's human. Darn near. She's doing everything humans are doing. Living in family groups, making fires, cooking, that kind of thing. And we're not finding evidence of those beings that were living in Germany. So that is a difference. It is definitely much older, but it leads back to those Neanderthal-like things that were living in that area of the world, and they had not developed into human beings yet, but they were very close and very near, but they hadn't made it. They hadn't made that transition over, and there were two definite groups. In my thinking, that the things didn't develop into humans. There were two separate lines. In other words, that there was a monkey-like group, and then there were humans. That were developing, and the people in northern Africa, Kenya, Ethiopia, Nubia, Somalia, Eritrea, where you find old Omo culture, and all these kind of people that were living around and moving around millions of years ago, they were small people, but they were definitely human because of their interaction, and not only living in groups and hunting and gathering in groups, but cooking, making fire. Evidence of tools. Fine tools. We're not talking about sticks and stones. So,
you just read my mind because I was going to ask you about how important is pottery in terms of artifacts and ancient civilizations. What is the importance of pottery when you find that at a dig? Could you speak?
The pottery is very important. First of all, I mean, if you're not familiar, if you compared since we're comparing the Germanic beings that lived there, you don't find pottery with them. They haven't advanced to the level of cooking utensils or tools that you find sticks and stones and rudimentary hammers and axes and things like that. But they hadn't developed to the point where you find fine pottery. Pottery can tell how the economic trade, what was traded with other people, for what reasons, were they fishing, were they gold mining, Were they copper mining? Were they aluminum mining? Were they beginning to get the stuff together to start making steel, which we know in ancient Nubia there were definitely steel making going on in ancient Nubia. The weapons were definitely made because they developed into to be the land of the bow. Tassedi is the land of the bow, and those archers were supposed to be very accurate. So we know this. So pottery is very important. Archaeological evidence is very important because it holds what was going on in a certain time period as the soil gets created and comes up over the top and preserves the archaeological record. You can find out what was going on in certain parts of history. So it's very important. Everything is very important. Like we, this DVD, The Nubian Spirit, which you can you know, ask me about.
I just got that in the mail. I watched
it. Okay, you did get it. Great. Did you? You looked at it.
Oh, yeah, we interviewed him on The Order of My Eye before. He is wonderful. Lewis Buckley, if no
Lewis
one
Buckley.
Has gotten a chance to. Lewis Buckley, the website is www.black9films.com.
Mm-hmm.
You can also find him on YouTube. Please go and purchase that DVD. Sister Nubia, go ahead and finish speaking about that.
That's all right. You talked it all up. The Nubian Spirit, that DVD produced by Lewis Buckley, very recent, again, primary research. He was this documentary was just produced in 2008. And one of the important finds that I already knew, I always told you, I already intuited it, that Dr. Onyeka found that there were evidence of copper wiring in ancient Nubia, in this copper wiring is evidence of electricity.
Electricity.
Now, how
could you
not be having brain surgery, reattaching limbs, dental surgery, having formulated medical schools and universities, and not have gotten that together? And they were living green. There are evidence of just like we see those solar cars on commercials and things like that. There's evidence of solar cars. There too as well. I mean, in the text, you see these machines and, you know, people talk about, oh, they're UFOs and stuff. I'm like, that's a solar car. You know what I mean? And there are roads. There are massive miles and miles and miles of roads underneath the dunes in ancient Nubia and ancient Kemet, which, you know, people say, well, you know, it's because of the roads with chariots and things like that. But not only that, roads for anything with wheels. So we know that people were going back and forth across the desert, since you don't see any evidence of pollution and industry and stuff in this time period, these people were the developers of alternative energy. It wasn't even alternative in their time period. It just was a way of life because they were always in keeping with the earth. Not doing anything to devastate or destroy the earth. So you know that they would have come up with things that would have been preserving the earth. So these societies were huge. They were running water. Our bathrooms are all, every time you go in your bathroom, you just should come in ancient Kemet because that bathroom design with the tiles and porcelain and marble comes from ancient Kemet. And, you know, they had beautiful bathhouses. The first thing that the Moors or the people from Africa did when they came to Spain was build a bathhouse because there were no baths when they came. So, this is a very clean culture. They're finding a lot of evidence, which, you know, if you ever get a chance to visit the Cairo Museum, the man to go to ask one of the curators to show you the wig room. Because that tells you who the people were. Oh, definitely. Big afro,
wow.
Big, huge, humongous afro wigs. You know, you just look like you walked into the 70s. Cornrow wigs, you know, regular old hair weave wigs, wigs that, you know, sisters are wearing, tiered hairstyles. The jewelry is actually excellent, excellent jewelry. So it just tells you who the people were once you once you see the wig room, it's no question of who these people were because you can, you know, it's just some things that are just, that just travel apart. Genetic history just is in our veins. We just keep on recreating the same thing. The fine manicured beards and goatees of the brothers from ancient Kemet. So there's plenty of evidence, but then you go back and then, also understand the forgery rumor. I talked to Manu Impim, who studies all the forgeries in the Cairo Museum, has studied the forgeries in the museums in Europe and the United States, as well as the Cairo Museum. So, it's so wide open, and I really, really encourage these sisters that are listening, sisters and brothers that are listening, to get involved with the study and research. Pick up a book, get African Presence in Early Asia, by Ivan Van Sertima, Blacks in Antiquity by Frank Snowden, Black Women in Antiquity, again by Ivan Van Sertima, When God Was a Woman by Merlin Stone, and that's a really good start. I mean, and also look at these DVDs. You could go to definitely buy this Nubian Spirit, because this is primary research done. So also study what the ancestors did. Of course, G.M. Jackson, Stolen Legacy, that'll get you started. It's a short book. You could sit down if you were diligent and read it probably in about a week or two. Start looking at the Metunetcher. The Metunetcher is definitely, we really need to be into the interpreting this language ourselves. So it's just so much out there, and I plan to have sisters and brothers like yourself, Tara, come and visit me at the archaeological site, because we need hands and we need interested people to come out. Once that'll be formulated. I also spoke with Anthony Browder. Anthony Browder has go to his site, and you have an opportunity to join in our archaeological dig in January. He needs to have your information to him by January. I think they go out on a dig maybe in March, but he needs your information by January, now, as soon as possible. Also, there's Richard Loban who is one of the people who have given me my position as a supervisor of archaeological site. He is doing a tour. You can go to the Archaeological Institute of America and his tour of Egypt. You can also look for his information at the Field Museum website, and he's going on a tour, archaeological dig, and they're going to go up through Luxor, they're going to go up through Aswan, go to the Nubia Museum, and this is a European, but he's an excellent guy, and he's also very astute, and also wants African-Americans to get involved in this stuff, too, because he's acutely aware that this is part of your history, too. So, which is a wonderful thing. So many different things. Also, to at the Kemetic Institute in Chicago, my first teacher, Anderson Thompson, that got me involved in Nubian archaeology. I was studying Native American Navajo archaeology before, because the Navajo were the Africans, definitely the Africans, whose colors are red, black, and green,
uh-huh,
and gold. The Africans that were influenced somehow by ancient Kemet in their regalia is the same as South African men as well. So I was studying the African presence here in the Americas. So I started off with Ivan Van Sertima and that research there. They came before Columbus and that information there. Yeah, which leads us back to the slaughtering, the bringing down of the cherry tree, which was the Algerian flag. The Moorish flag, and when Washington chopped down a cherry tree, he actually won this country from over the Moors. A very, very, very well-hidden secret that the Moors were well-established in this culture and in this country. And one fact is, when they talk about the people the Seminole Native Americans, that when the African slaves ran to the Seminole Native Americans, the Seminoles protected them. And you couldn't tell which was the African enslaved
right,
and the Native American. So it tells you who was here. So we have African history right here. There are pyramids right here. There's evidence of Egyptians visiting here. There are several Egyptian burials that have been unearthed in Cancun. We know that those people were of plain old Egyptian Kemetic Nubian descent.
So much when I went to Cancun. It was about 3 years ago. I bought back, you know, everyone has seen most of the pictures of the Olmec heads. Well, then when I went 3 years ago, I was not as deep into some of the research and some of the information that I am now. But I was acutely, I was just very drawn to some of they're like, they're miniature versions of like stone heads, and they're made out of like abalone and turquoise stone and things of that nature. And when you look at the structure of the nose and the mouth and the eyes, and I happen to sitting here, right here in my living room, it's amazing. It is amazing. It's just amazing.
It's what it is.
Now, you mentioned a few things I want you to touch on. I'm just going to mention one or two of those before we go on break. And after we come back for the break, we're going to take some questions. So everyone get ready to call in with your questions and your comments. Again, the call-in number is 646-716-7675, and you will have to press 1 so that I will know that you have a question or a comment. I want you to speak to, you just touched on this, the some people are confused or don't have accurate information in terms of the Moors and their connection to ancient Kemet. Some people don't know that there is a connection between the Moors and ancient Kemet. Could you discuss that and get into that a little bit to help clear up some information in regards to that aspect?
Well, first of all, the term Moor it means black.
Exactly.
The Moorish, you know, when people say Moors, depending on what time period they come from, they just mean black people. At one time,
right.
all black people were called Nubians.
Right.
Then there were all black people were Egyptians. Then, you know, here, black people were Negroes, colored, black. Now we're African Americans. So depending on what time period, you can understand that. The Moors came a long time ago. They were sailing and traveling around. Moors were not only from Spain. Many of them were, you'd say they were Tuareg, or they came from Mali, Timbuktu. A lot of those brothers were sailors, sailing on the River Niger. And navigated the seas, as we know, Christopher Columbus, which we call Christopher Columbus, his navigator was an African. He was a Moor, and the Moor. Why? Because everybody else was, besides Christopher Columbus and a couple of Europeans, they thought that people were going to fall off the edge of the earth. Now the people in the aristocracy knew better. They knew that the world was round. You know, information is power, and they already knew that. You know, they studied and done maps, but they were trying to map out the world. So the people you go to, if you want to map out about the world, of course, were the people who had already done that before. And said, well, we can tell you this is, you know, because the navigator tried to tell Christopher Columbus not to go use the route he was going. He said, there's land there. And Christopher Columbus, you know, said, well, let's go and see. You know, and then he bumped into the United States. He thought he was in India. There goes why you call the people Indians. The people that lived here were burgundy-skinned people and black-skinned people.
Yes.
And brown-skinned people.
Talked about that. Wow.
The burgundy-skinned people were, that's why they called people the red man. And if you've ever visited New Mexico, and you see a pure red man, it's a sight to behold, because if you pictured that person, they would look black. Now these people were, if you look at old pictures of those burgundy red men who walked on what is now the territory of the United States, the stolen land of those people wore locks. They wore jewelry similar to Africans. Their practice, everything was stolen from the democracy. The 13 tribes come from 13 tribes, which translates into the 13 Orishas. You know, the whole structure is very African. You know, having a dance called the ghost dance, where people, you do a dance, you do a ritual, and the ancestors sit, you can sit and talk to the ancestors. That dance was banned. They can't do the ghost dance is still illegal today, that the Native Americans can't practice it.
I like doing illegal things when they're for my people.
Right.
When it's culture related, they can call it whatever they want. If it's my culture, I want to know about it.
I'm sure that you can go to some Native Americans and find out exactly what the ghost dance is being done, but because of its illegality, I'm sure you got to just be in the right circle. But all I'm saying all this to these practices were African. And some of these people that you call, like there's one Smoholler. Smoholler was the chief medicine man. And Smoholler, in one picture, which is very odd, one picture he has the head of a Native American, and then on one other picture he has a head of a black man with little baby dreadlocks, looking like the Buffalo Soldier, the description of the Buffalo Soldier. And, so this stuff is hidden from us. They found under falls, prayers written in Islam, in Islamic texts, that people were doing ablutions, which their morning ritual of water, and saying the prayers of the Muslims. So the Muslim culture had already arrived via Abu Bakari, who also gets us back to Cancun in the Americas, because there were a couple of ships that were so-called lost. That went away and were never found, and then just mixing all the facts that lead us to the point where we know that they were African. When Cortez set foot in South America, one of his things when he got there, trying to take over the Aztec culture, he said that the people had woolly hair that lived there. So you can go and find all these facts. The people had woolly hair. The Carib Indians wore locks. You know what I mean? They were definitely of African descent, and they were all wiped out. They were all through the islands now known as the Caribbean island, and that's where that comes from. So there's evidence, the pyramids and a lot of the structures, you read in the Bible, we talked about the Great Labyrinth. It's actually from Kemet, and the Great Labyrinth, it exists today in Cancun. Many of the temples are shaped like women. There's a temple of Isis in Cancun, the temple of the alligator, the temple of the reptiles, which we know those symbols come straight from ancient Kemet and ancient Nubia. So, it's just it's a lot. I mean, there were priestesses, there were high priestesses, and the structure was just like, it was like ancient Nubia and ancient Kemet. And also in the Bible, it tells us it took 9 months from you to cross from the west to the east. And we know that even though the Nile River was a few miles wider at some periods of time, it wouldn't have taken 9 months to travel. And we think that travel, as they went to, that their empire, they were expanding their empire, and that their empire was in what we now call the Americas.
Wow.
And that's, all of those people that I spoke of could be termed Moors.
Someone just put in the chat room that a Mary, A-M-E-R-I,
right.
Black.
Mary means black, yeah. And, just so many things. California was a black woman, named after California and that territory, which was once part of Mexico, as we know. And it just goes back to, the black culture is the oldest culture, and we have evidence of it all over. We know that the oldest inhabitants of the land were small people, like the Twa.
Pygmy and Twa, right.
We talked about the Guinness Stout, and we talked about Ireland, the Afro-Celtic and Afro-Celtic
yes.
music.
Hold on to that one, sis. I'm going to go on break right quick because that's going to take a minute for us to get into. I'm going to go ahead and go on break and play your theme song for you.
Oh, thank you.
We're going to go on break, and we're going to come right back to what we just what you just mentioned right after break.
Okay.
Oh, my, I'm a little bit upset. I can't seem to find Golden here on the switchboard.
Oh, no.
I know. Slow down a minute. Maybe it's here. Wow. Wow. Okay, you know what? Go ahead and get into what you just said about the Celts and the Irish.
All right. Well, the Irish people, we talk about the leprechauns and all those kind of things. There's small piece of the evidence that we know that there were the oldest people that walked the earth were small black people. And we think it got transitioned over time as the people lightened up, as the Nordic peoples came down and mixed with the Africans. They became lighter skinned, but black men always leave a trace. The red hair, the nappy red hair, the freckles and the green eyes. If you look at a lot of pure Irish people's features, their features are very black. Their lips are wider, their noses are wider, their eyes are rounder, their hair nappier. I mean, I've seen Irish people with hair nappy as mine, to tell you the truth, except it was bright orange, bright red.
Right.
Just a lot of mixing, and that's, you know, African brothers always leave their traces in the history. And, we got evidence in the Afro-Celtic music. The djembe drum is used there. The Irish dance, if you added the arms to it, it would look like that people were doing manjani, West African dance. They would be doing ikongkong, you know, from Guinea, from that area, or Igbo, some people would call it. The Catholic Church took the arm movements out because they said it was too barbaric. It was uncivilized looking. And as the Roman Catholic Church took over that area in later years, the dancers couldn't move their upper body because it was thought to be provocative and too sexually provoking. The Guinness Stout is the same kind of beer brewed in Guinea. Guinea actually means land of the woman. And it's just a lot of evidence, and it's also, if you look at Ireland in close proximity to Africa, Guinea is right there. Guinea, you could just, like,
yeah.
It looks like you could walk over from Guinea from there, so you kind of just drift right over there. So, it's evidence that Africans were definitely mixing with Europeans. The brothers, like, always leave their evidence, and that is, I'm sure we went over to Ireland and studied, we would find even more evidence. Just is not, you know, I want to study everything, but I can't.
Yes.
At this point in my life, I've learned that I'm going to just focus. I'm going to focus, and I'm going to just take myself on other voyages by the magic of technology, DVDs, looking at videos, and reading books. You know, you can't buy enough books, and in fact, that's the reason why I'm stopping my TV program, because I need to really just get books, and I need support for all this stuff. But are you ready to take a break, or should I just keep on going?
I am thoroughly upset with my switchboard. I just uploaded Golden again, and I know it's in
okay.
here, and it's still not showing up. I'm upset.
That's all right. He said, that's all right. Living life like it's golden. You know, Nubia means golden.
Yes.
So,
yeah, I was going to ask you to get
gold.
Into that earlier, too. No wonder
right.
that's a song.
Right, right. So, you know, Nubia means gold, land of gold. So living your life like it's golden because it's precious. Life is this precious thing, and you really got to use your life minutes wisely. As I'm getting older, I'm really, really, really getting into that. I try not to waste too much time. I try to relax and do stuff. I just came from the spa because our ancient African women also knew how to take care of themselves physically. Sitting in the steam room, doing exercise, making sure that you treat your body well and don't abuse your body. by polluting your temple with things that shouldn't be eaten and drinking. You guys know what those are. I mean, too much of anything is a bad thing. I mean, drinking alcoholic beverages unless, you know, it's once a week or something, or you know, stopping too much at those terrible
fast food places,
nutritious, barren places. They're just devoid of nutrition. We need to tell the Funkadelics to come back and do something like that. Queen Afua son came up with a vegetarian rap where he talks about living your life in a way that you know really makes your temple just live a long time.
Right.
So, you know, I'm just really, really trying to make sure I take care of myself. As I once was an African dancer, West African dancer, so I had an injury, so I'm not able to do that. So I'm really into taking care of my body and understanding that, and even teaching young dancers what not to do because you don't want to injure yourself, and this is what I've done to myself, so I don't want to see you repeat that same stuff. So it's just.
All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and go on break. I do have backup, so.
Good.
We're going to play a piece of poetry by Brother Haru. If you do not know who he is, just check this out, and we'll be right back.
Her beauty is classical. The presence of her being inspires soldiers who would fight for the cause of a people who are darker than blue. For her contribution, we have sworn a solemn oath to protect her today's and her inevitable tomorrows. She is the muse of men who would embrace the requirements of a peculiar and definitive African history. She is the feminine personification of all that is the best of Africa. Her aroma is that of an ancient freshness. Beauty has signed a petition to be referred to from now on as her. We are all looking for beauty in our lives. She is the original footprint from the foothills of the mountains of the moon. The vibration of her voice reveals the struggle of a people who have not yet been vindicated. The waters of her thoughts are a blessing to a man who has only known the desert of unfulfilled redemption. Victory is mine, but when? She answers, when I am restored to my throne. She answers, when I am restored to my throne. Her answer revealed to me that she is a monarch in exile. A queen mother who wants her village back. A queen mother who needs her village back. She is mama. She is sister. And she is daughter Africa, all wrapped up into one. We are all looking for beauty in our lives. Her strength comes from a prophetic lineage. The prophecy is that we must fight. We must fight so that we may be reborn into new men and women, so that we may become the oldest Africans by becoming the newest African. For our purposes, she has redefined the phrase, the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. Yes, she is the chief priestess of a new religion called Sankofa. Her powers are legendary. The spirits have passed an eternal torch to her. I have seen her luminescence. Beauty has signed a petition to be referred to from now on as her. We are all looking for beauty in our lives.
Give that brother a plug. He has a website that is our website. Instead of iTunes, everyone who's listening, who's looking for conscious music and poetry and spoken word, go to movementtunes.com, movementunes.com. I've purchased a few tunes this morning. The brother is putting it down, and I recommend that everybody check out when he was on Occult Science Radio, so you can get some more information about him, and hopefully we can possibly have him on a guest on one of our sister radio shows. So let's bring Sister Nubia back on. Are you still with me?
Yes, I am.
All right. We have quite a few callers with their hands up that have questions. Before I get to them, I want to make sure everyone has a call-in number. Our call-in number is 646-716-7675. And before we go to the lines, can you speak about the fashion that you see on the walls in Nubia and Ancient Kemet? Because we did have quite a discussion about that.
Oh, those sisters were sharp. That's it in a nutshell. They were sharp. The jewelry, the bracelets and necklaces, the wonderful headpieces. The sisters wore a lot of bodysuits with bodysuits, like we would call them cat suits, with nice beaded kind of caftans, transparent like caftans that made of linen and really, really fine materials, hand beaded with gold, silver, glass, natural stones, turquoise, amber, just really, really sharp, nice shoes, nice sandals. Just the sisters were just into their beauty, and some of their grave sites, people would have their mirrors and things with them. So actually, Nubia, Queen T, was supposed to have ushered Nubian culture and fashion into Kemet. She was the fashion icon of Kemet. That's one of the things she's known for. And I just wanted to give my contact information to Sister Tara. My website is www.ancientnubiancities.com. That's www.ancientnubiancities.com. You can go there and you can get my email, but my email is nubiandiggs@hotmail.com. And you can also call me to get information at 454-3150. That's 454-3150. I also have a physical place where you can mail me. I'm getting ready to look it up.
What's your area code for that phone number? Is that
313. That's 313.
454-3150. Okay, I've got your website, your email, and your phone number in the chat room as well.
And we're going to add my physical address in just a moment, but we can take some questions.
All right. Let's go ahead and go to the call lines or to the switchboard. We have a caller from, I think it's a Skype caller or a private number, area code 111. Could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from?
Yes, this is Pastor Flowers.
Hey, hi. Pastor Flowers.
Hi. Pastor Flowers.
Hi.
I've met you on
yes,
LIV
have.
Radio.
Yes. And the woman you are, you're what we need, because it is so, so important for the black woman to go out there and get her hands into what archaeology, literature, linguistics. The black woman has to do that because she's being slighted, because they're telling mm-hmm. what they want you to know, not what it really is,
right.
You know. And so I do applaud you and do ask all of us, as a black people, to support you, because I know what you're doing requires a great deal of money. Just the fact that you got a black woman in there in archaeology in a dig, that's deep. And it's your dig, that's real deep. We don't understand. That's history in the making, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you.
Well, you know that. You know how hard it was for you to even be in the position that you're in. Because, see, they did not want you there. You
mm-hmm.
know, because that's why they kicked the women out of the temple.
Because
she will tell the truth.
Well, yeah, and that's my thing. It's time to
that's why
people talk about add the books to the history. I'm just like, let's just tell the truth about it, whoever it was. Let's tell the truth.
Yeah, that's why they told the women to keep silent in the Bible. See, that was an all over edict for all women, especially aimed at the black goddess, because they've always known everybody has feared her and revered her. And right now in this situation, things are so out of control because they really, in the beginning, they didn't know how to interpret everything because you had men doing this. And so as men were doing it, they were just appalled when they were finding that it was women who created all of this. That's a hard thing to swallow, because the man had been told that he was God.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they say this is a man's world.
Right. And Caligula and all those guys were responsible for that takeover.
That's
Constantine, it. Caligula were, who were not really respectful of women, and that's just
well,
put it nicely.
They were the ones that were, see, they're in the way patriarchy works, it's always the sacrificial lamb. They were the fall guys, but they weren't the real powers.
Yeah, they were definitely promoted by
right.
somebody else. Somebody else was behind them financially, making all this stuff happen. And one family that was, is very strange. You've heard about the Medici or the Medici family, who he was married to. She either was from Guinea or Senegal, but she was a West African woman and was his wife. Well, they used, that's when Catholicism was developing.
Correct.
And so they took all of those symbols from Catholicism and built the Catholic Church, made it, because they were big gangsters. The Medici family was trying to get into heaven.
Well, of course. Because that was how
right.
they interpreted,
Right.
What it was. But see, like, it's like even where the Pope, the Papal, where he stays right now, that was the goddess temple. And they took over all of that archaeology. That's what her field is in archaeology, in architecture. And so we need
the papal seat was the mammal seat.
Correct. Correct.
And it,
and we need to be studying these, but even a quicker way to study, if we women would truly pray, and ask for it, you can activate your DNA. It's in there. See,
you
we have it in us.
You just know it, but you don't know where something's come to us. It's called mother wit.
Right.
And you're
the evidence.
It.
You know it, and women that are out there like yourself, because, see, it ain't a lot of us. That's the problem. Ones that are actually saying, okay, you just, I tell people, I just know. I came here knowing.
Right. And it's a knowing. And it's,
right.
it's
and,
truth
and I ran into you some time ago and observed you, because you were actually one of the persons that helped me to validate what I knew.
Well, thank you. At least something I'm doing is getting out there.
Oh, it is.
Oh, it's getting out there.
So, River Flowers, I have a question for you. Where can people come and gather with you?
Well, I live in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I have just procured a building that we're started with. It's a small house, because we don't have funds. And what I'm trying to do right now is gather up women here and expose them. I know that we need to take back our childhood. We need to take back every level of our lives and begin to re-educate and expose them. One of the biggest things, and this might seem a little off, but it's not, is to start first of all, bringing in the right ancestors. And also, when you bring them in, when you make and form a child and create it, teach it from ages infancy. Children can read by the age of 1 and 2. We don't know.
Yes, they can. Yes.
See, we were very, very powerful people.
Yeah, I agree.
So by the time they get 5, we shouldn't be sending our kids to be miseducated.
Right.
You are a unique person, you know, and there are those that are going to be able to go through this now present system, but there's not going to be a lot. See, there's it takes different organs in a body to make up a body, and you have a part in that body. And right now you're doing archaeological history, evidence, you know, to bring into light, hey, this was that. I seen it for myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you're helping a lot of us who are not able to actually go over to these sites, do these digs, and understand the mechanics of it, how it works. So
right.
we all work on different levels. I work at the very seed. I'm into the seed because it's the seed that's important. If you don't put the right seed in the ground, you don't get the right crop.
Yes,
and
that's
where
exactly.
I try to elevate the goddess
mm-hmm,
into
mm-hmm.
understanding that she is goddess. And whatever
mm-hmm.
she creates, that's the reality, and it always has been, because you're in a field to prove that's what she did. You know, it's
mm-hmm.
just like her textiles. Every clothing that we can imagine was made by the black woman.
Definitely. Discovered by the black woman. Designed by the black woman.
Designed by her. And
mm-hmm.
everything is made after her.
Right. Yeah, we are just the creators of reality.
We
to tell you the truth.
Because without
but,
us, there is no reality.
There is no reality. But, I mean, and it's not, you know, and it's so important. So now that you've got a building, Reverend Flowers, I am leaving, you know, sometime soon,
mm-hmm.
by December. But I really want to visit and do a presentation, a lecture presentation, and I'm available for that to you and others. I don't know,
great.
Only one or two before I leave, because I got to get it together, pack, get my stuff together, you know, spend time with my husband and my daughter and my family and stuff. But I would love to have that opportunity.
Well, that would be great, because Goddess Tara, seek wisdom here. We were trying to do something here in Cincinnati, weren't we? Seek wisdom?
Yes.
Weren't we trying to have a sister meetup here?
Well, we are still, I am still working on doing a black women's conference there in Cincinnati, but the venue may not be the same. So the date I'm looking at is March of 2009, around the spring.
Okay,
2010.
I'm sorry, 2010.
Yeah,
mm, wow. Yeah.
Because that's only 6 months from now. That's right around the corner.
Yeah, so I'm
trying to see if I can, you know, secure the venue again, because there have been some changes.
Right.
But if we can't do that particular venue, we will find another one. But definitely I want to come to Cincinnati and have some sisters come out so that we can, you know, do some healing work on the black women, because we definitely need that.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and like I said, I know for myself, Goddess Nubia here, she was the one that helped her and many other people, but the fact that she was pretty much the only woman that I know that's black that's doing an archaeology dig is phenomenal to me, because my son-in-law, my daughter, that's what they're studying. They're trying to get into, he's studying archaeology and things of that nature, because it is so much hidden
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that we don't understand. We're going to a college here called Hebrew Union College, and I'm telling you, the Jewish people have a lot of our information.
Mm-hmm. They know who we are.
Yes,
they know where stuff comes from.
Yeah, they're the ones that taught us that in the Bible that there's not one white person in there. And they took us in their vaults. They have secret vaults that they don't let people go in because they were trying to recruit my daughter. And
they have those, unfortunately, they have those all over the world.
Yes, they do.
Where people have all this
hidden information
that they don't show people.
And when
the Catholic Church has a whole lot of information.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in the Catholic Church. My cousin
has been there.
My cousin was the first black priest here in Cincinnati, and he went all over the world. And he told me some stuff that when he told me, I wasn't ready even. It was so much, I couldn't digest it. I'm just now digesting stuff 40 and 50 years ago that I was told.
And it's so terrible because people who go to theology school, and you know this, Reverend Flowers, they tell you where this information comes from. So at some point you have to make a decision as a minister, do I share this information with people
or do I just make money off of it?
Right. Yeah. You know, and one of the things for myself is God has told me don't pit my people. And so and that meant that I had to come by means of a different venue. So, of course, I'm not in your traditional I'm not a traditional pastor. But a pastor means big star. It means it was feminine. It had nothing to do with men when you do the etymology and the linguistics. When you take it back to Africa, it means big star. Isis, Neith, it actually meant Neith because she is the original goddess.
She is the original
one. She is God.
She is God, and that's what we have to really be careful about calling her a goddess because she is God.
She is God.
Everyone else is underneath her. She reigns supreme,
and we have to really
be careful with that.
Well, we do, but see, this is something else that we must understand, that collectively we are God. We are goddesses individually, but collectively we have our mother in us, but it's like a body. It won't work until we are all together.
I agree. Nothing is going to work until we find unity once again. Nothing is going to work until we find unity because there is not only strength in numbers, that we have to get the collective memory of our ancient past, and that's what women and that's what unity does for us, because we are just a spiritual people, and if we hold hands and get together, literally hold hands and get together, we can actually create a lot of different energies,
and that's
what's kept
from
us.
That point that you just touched on, I'm sorry to interrupt, but that just
struck something
in my spirit. That point that you just made would do so much, and that's what other people are really afraid of. Not our people, but when we look right now, religion, and I look at the conscious or the awakened community as different. What's the word I'm looking for? You know how you have Protestants and Christians, and oh my God.
Well, it's called quantum physics. Everybody's fractured in small particles.
Denominations, you mean?
Right, different denominations in the church. We have, you know, the Nation of Islam. We have the Nations of God and Earth, you know, which is 5%ers. We have, you know, Christians. We have, you know, the pro-black. We have Hebrew Israelites. We have the more science temple of America. We got the Washita Moors. We got regular African Americans.
Mm-hmm.
We have so many different denominations within ourselves. If we would just leave the religion at the door and our different philosophies and just sit down at a table together and talk about the commonalities that we have,
correct,
like the fact that we have a common oppressor and we have people within our community that need things and meet our needs and only focus on our goals, we could get a lot accomplished.
You know, kind of like the United States government, because right now that's what they're doing. They're trying not to really focus on their differences. They're trying to focus on the financial future of this country, and you know, people are definitely—they're good at trying to let people think that they're doing something different, but they're not. They're not.
No, because patriarchy was made to fail. That's the one thing
mm-hmm.
about it. It was only supposed to last and can last for a period of time because
yep,
anything out of balance, and when you go to the far extreme, if you keep going that way, you actually annihilate yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have another caller on the line. Let me check that line. I'm going to keep you on the line, Pastor Flowers. Area code 340, could you let us know where you're calling from and your name?
Greetings, sisters. My name is Trisha, calling from St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands.
Oh, wow. Thank you for calling in from the Virgin Islands.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I'm in the chat room, and, boy, just trying to get all this information down. My phone is on fire. And and what I wanted to bring to the table is I wanted to go back a little about as far as getting our history back, and especially for, you know, for us, you know, even the young black men and black women that have grown to be women and grown men, that we need to go back and have our rites of passage.
Indeed.
Oh, most definitely. Oh, yes.
I did
that.
That's
what I'm advocating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
even us. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's my problem.
We have to be re-educated.
We need to be re-educated. We need to start from this point out, from us women, to go through some parts. We need, and seriously, we need to get together and start instituting some type of rites of passage. Hey, the Jewish folk, they got their bat mitzvah. They got
well, the Jewish
mitzvah.
Got that from us.
They got it from us. So we need, we you
all
know,
that.
And,
yeah,
and
we just ain't doing it. Everybody else doing it but us. Yeah.
But you know what? Once we start doing it again, everything is set right once again.
You're right. I taught rites of passage for a long time, and just in your point, I thought that I was creating these things. I'm like, well, I don't really know what to do, so let me go ahead and create these things. Well, after I had started putting things together, I got a book about rites of passage, and lo and behold, everything I was doing was in the book.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave me chills because I was just
a
like,
sale.
Oh, my God.
It was in your sale.
Your intuition. You're following that ancient DNA.
Right.
And
I was really taken aback, and I did exactly what you said, and then I had a rites of passage for myself where I invited women over and to give me words of wisdom because, you know, I've been given rites of passage for children, and now, you know, I said, I haven't done this myself, so I gave myself a rites of passage. So it's maybe that's one of the first things that could go on at Reverend Flowers Church, and maybe the sister.
Well, that's
Saint
what
Thomas.
We're trying, and that's what the Black Universe is doing too. That's what all of us are collectively trying to do together, and and by doing this together, then we're more powerful. We're taking back our power, and so we are our church that we are trying to. What we've been doing with the church, we just procured the building last year, but the building, we don't have any mortgage on it. We've paid it in full, and now we have to raise the money to get the building working. The building wasn't perfect, so we still have construction to do on this building, and we're trying to get my site, Ebony Women of the Diaspora, is like a virtual church. And church, people need to get over that. Church just means a community of believers. And that
and
was
this
all
is why
from
I
Africa.
Said we need to do a show on vocabulary.
Yes.
You have to understand
we have to get into etymology and understand what these words, because we created these words and taught it to our sons. So we have to take back linguistics. And Latin is a very, very important language for black people, because see, that's where all the secrets are, and she's doing archaeology,
and that's why they dissolved Latin, because
but that's why the
Catholic
Church.
Latin.
I grew up learning Latin because they didn't speak nothing else. So when
it's
you
funny.
Learn this language, this actually opens a door for you to understand higher literature, where they have hidden a lot of things.
It's
and then
funny
we can
that you
choose.
Should, I'm sorry, go ahead.
That's all right. I said, and we can truly become divas, divine
yes.
ones, because that has been really, really slandered.
Yes.
The diva is become, it truly means divine one.
It
and
does.
We really have to teach people that, you know, everybody doesn't deserve to be called a diva.
Mm-hmm. Well, the diva were the elders.
Mm-hmm.
And so
and
not every woman is a diva. We're
right.
divas in the making.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You can't become a divine one without knowing the divine teaching.
You know,
right.
So the one thing we do have to understand, there's a first and a last. But the last is the first because it's a circle. It's infinite.
Okay, sister from area code 340. I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. What is your name?
It's Tressa.
Tressa.
Okay. Did you have any other comments or questions?
Well, I did. You know, I have, and just like she was saying, that my son, I have three sons, and my last is my girl. And she, you know, my son, every Saturday, he goes through a rites of passage. It started about 3 weeks ago, and it ends in December. So I thought, you know, and he was asking me, Mom, you know, what is this about? Well, you know, and I was like, Son, well, this is something that's going to usher you into real manhood. How to walk your walk, how to talk your talk, how to hold yourself. And this is the same thing I want for my daughter. You know, I want her to, and she's only six, and I want to groom her into dealing with something in rites of passage. And, you know, it would be really nice if I can get these, you know, to the sisters down here, you know, we need to get together and start our own, you know, ritual,
mm-hmm.
rites of passage ritual for
That's
our
That's what
young
it's all
daughter.
About.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the fact that you have this in your heart, what I've learned from the goddess, when the goddess gives you an ideal, the ideal is first for you, and then it spreads out. So then you need to start a righteous passage program where
mm-hmm.
you are. And that's what we're trying to get every woman to do that is
mm-hmm.
aware of the goddess.
And I can, and Tressa, if you want to email me your information, I can share the information I have that I developed from Rites of Passage. And
well, I would definitely want you to email that to me as well. Because,
and me too.
And I'm here in Virginia. I'm located in Virginia, and I have
I'm in
a space here that we want to use for the same resource, you know, for the same reason, to do rites of passage for women and to have an area for women to come study and be aware of goddess and be aware of their history, you know, in general.
Well, can I get that email address to do, you know, kind of get the ball, you know, rolling?
Yeah, my email address, I'm sure Tara and Reverend Flowers have one, too, to share, but this is Nubia's email address. It's Nubian Diggs, NubianDiggz, at hotmail.com. That's NubianDiggz. And my physical address is Nubian Archaeological Project in Care of in Sodoma Institute, NSOROMA Institute at 20045 Joanne Street.
Okay. And
Detroit,
now
Michigan, 48205.
Now, I'm going to email you, and then I'm going to get that address. You can email me back with the answer.
Okay. I was doing that for Tara, too, so she can put it up. I hear her typing
okay.
away back there.
Yeah, I'm trying. You said give me the address one more time.
It's a Nubian Archaeological Project in care of in Soroma Institute, NSOROMA Street, address 20045, Joanne Street.
How do you spell Joanne?
J-O-A-N-N
E
Street.
Is there an E on it?
No E. I don't think there's an E.
Okay.
Joanne Street. Detroit, Michigan, 48205.
Okay.
So there's I always try to have a physical address, too. Some people still want to write letters and send support, and I need all of that. I can't stress I need all of that. And then it's also a tax write-off. I have a not-for-profit business, so there is a tax write-off as well.
Yeah. You know, and that's the biggest thing where we are, because we're getting into these venues and things of that nature. We need the support, because when you're the ones doing, you know, the main population can't do that type of research. And so we have got to understand, as a people, we have to support our people so that they're able to further, and actually, if when they are furthered and are enabled to do their research, that basically furthers all of us. And so everybody can't get out there. So the thing here is, you know, like I put a thing on my site and said, just give me a dollar. Everybody give me a dollar a month. Shit. You know, anything can help. But we do need that, because, you know, all I do is this, and nobody's paying me.
You know, we get 10,000 people giving us a dollar a month, we'll be fine.
We can live. We can do what we need to do, but we gotta, you know, we gotta kind of get, we gotta basically get off the grid and stop buying things to further this world, so that we can create our own.
Right. I mean, some of this is information that we've been putting out before, but somehow it's not really sinking in.
You gotta crowd the mountaintop to everybody
hear you. If all of us give a little, no one has to give a lot.
Correct. And those that can give a lot can give a lot.
Well, Tara, you were talking about creating a newsletter, too.
Yeah.
Tara's
creating a
newsletter.
I have a whole lot of ideas of different things I'm trying to do. I have to finish up, or I am doing. I have to finish, you know, my last few days at school. And as soon as I do that, I can, you know, give some more attention to things I'm working on. So, you know, look forward to me putting out a lot more, you know, things that I'm working on. So they will all be promoted here on the Black Womaniverse, and anywhere else I can go to those mountaintops and shout it out on.
Well, thank you for having Black Womaniverse. I'm happy that you reached out and called me, and I'm so very happy to hear the voice of Reverend Flowers, because
Listen, we spent one day, me and her, I don't know what it was, trying to get her to join Ebony Women. And she kept trying, and I don't know what happened.
I was
just get in there.
Computer illiterate or something, because I could not get in there. And she said, well, do this, do that. And I'm like, I did. I can't do it. I mean, we're going back and forth, you know, via LIB. I'm like,
because I was like, because she was just resonating within my spirit. It's like, you know, when people, I get the calls, well, what book did you get this at? I don't have a book.
Right.
I just know it. I have always known it. And for the first time, well, I've been speaking it anyway, except for everybody thought I was crazy. And now I'm in a circle of sisters who are feeling the same thing I'm feeling. And so I was like, oh, and she got evidence. I know she's got the proof. We got to link up. We tried all day one day trying to do this, and we got so frustrated that we stopped.
Right? I'm like, what are we? This is just crazy. But,
so I deal with her on Living in Black.
And Living in Black. So I'm so glad to hear her voice, and I look forward to, you know, to connecting with you. Again, my telephone number for anybody who wants to call and ask questions is 313-454-3150.
Put that in the chat.
313-454-3150. And you know, you guys, we touched on so many different things with a sister from, you know, saying that, you know, calling from St. Thomas. That really touched me. That we're reaching our network is growing, and we have to thank Sister Tara and you, Jeanette, so for having these networks that we can grow.
Yes.
And I was just reading more on this Goddess Meet. And I've read this several times, but we talked about the Ireland thing, the connection with Ireland.
Yes.
The Meet was identified with an Irish goddess called Nath.
That's
so
right.
So
that's
we,
correct.
You know, need this just all over. And, you know, she, you know, and the people that were Libyans, of course, Libyans were, in ancient times, were Ethiopians.
Yes.
So, you know, you, as we talk, and as Reverend Jeanette said, the people talk that there was nobody in the Bible that was white.
That's
you
right.
know, as we, you know, these people from the Nordic mountains came down and mixed with the Africans and lightened up the race, and then Africans moved elsewhere. It takes 7,000 years for your physical features to change. Skin
right.
color and nose, mouth, and things, and hair and stuff to change. Even if you didn't mix with anybody else, if you stay in a climate of 7,000 years, you're going to change up. So a lot
That's
of people
right.
that people call Europeans are really not Europeans anyway.
That's
They're
right.
lightened up Africans.
And what's important for us to understand is the origination of the white people, because we created them.
And yeah, we created them.
And then, when they were not able to stay in that atmosphere, and they had to move to a cooler climate, and over time, because when they first, like we think the Vikings were white, but they were not white in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't anything white on this earth. There are different times. This is why they had to change the times and the maps and everything.
Well, they looked like what we would call modern-day people from Ireland, a pure person from Ireland,
yeah.
who has the green eyes and the red nappy hair
mm-hmm.
and the thick lips, you know, because we have descriptions of Eric the Red, who is one of the older Vikings
yeah,
that came over.
Yeah, I'm trying
over,
to think of that movie. And I can't remember this movie, and it was about the Scottish. They wore the Celts. See, that
mm-hmm.
was a part of, got that, what was that movie called? And he was, what did they say, the last, I can't remember what, and I can't even remember the black.
Is it the one, that the man got cut up in Fort, and, And they'd explained how the a coat of armor, where you had the legs one way on the top corners and the legs on the other corner, because it's a represent of this ceremony where they cut this man up, and that's how the coat of arms was formulated.
Right. They also have added to this in the Bible where they cut up the different parts of the woman.
Mm-hmm.
See, everything is symbolic.
Everything,
of what they did. It's there. It's in the Bible.
Especially,
everybody talks about throw the Bible away. You don't want to throw that Bible away.
Well, you
don't want to throw any of our religious, because, see, all religions are the same religions, all fractured
well, the,
up. They
the
work
thing
off
is,
of
I agree, but the thing is that the pure text is what we could go back to make reference to, because
that's
as
right.
the culture as the cultures changed and moved, things were added and reinterpreted. So
right.
we have to understand what the pure text said in relationship into the changes. And the Bible's changed hands, which they're guesstimating over 500 times.
Right. Well, what the Bible was given. The Bible was our original way of teaching our children. And
mm-hmm.
each generation that came into being was given that same Bible, and it was amalgamated to fit that culture, that particular, like we see God as white with the Christian generation. But Christos, the Christus, was Egypt, was Nubia,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so, you know, we have to look into understanding that all the symbology that the Catholic Church does, it was all of Africa.
Well, Christos was Nubian, and God was worshipped as a woman in ancient
right.
Nubia. Her name was Manat.
That's
the Holy
right.
Trinity at that point was three black women.
Well, the
and
Jews talk about the three goddesses, but they don't
mm-hmm.
talk about it. See, they have
Manat.
Their Bible is one part, but then when they get into the Midrash and different things like that, they talk about it more in depth. But,
okay,
yes, they do all know.
Let me briefly interject right quick. We have two other callers on the line.
Mm-hmm.
So, Pastor Flowers, I'm going to place you back on hold one moment.
That's
and
fine.
We're going to check with the other callers we have online. We have another caller with a call. Their number is coming up as private or 111. Could you state your name and where you're calling from? caller from 111. State your name and where you're calling from. Okay, I guess they're just listening. Let me check this other line. Area code 510, could you let us know who you are and where you're calling from?
They're listening.
I guess they are. Nothing is wrong with that. We have about 10 minutes remaining, family.
Okay.
So just wanted to let everyone know that. Definitely, if you have a question, this is your chance to call in. The number is 646-716-7675. And I have so many notes here. One other thing I wanted to ask you before we get off the line today, and again, I just want to make sure I thank you for coming on and spending this time with us.
No problem.
I wanted you to touch on the flooding of the Aswan Dam and how that affects the pyramids in ancient Nubia and Meroe. Could you touch on that?
Yes, the flooding of the inundation of Lake Nasser, which is Lake Nubia, political designations, and definitely that the naming is actually political, as everyone knows. If you can control the name of it, you can control what people think. But dams are being created. The Meroe Dam is supposed to be created in an effort to get lights to Egypt and lights. Not even to Sudan, lights to Egypt, and because Cairo's population is almost close to 20 million in the day and goes back down to less than 10 million in the evening, their commute is a mass of chaos, perfectly orchestrated chaos. But those sites that lie along the Nile River or the Hapi River, called in ancient time, Hapi, the Hapi River, the water table will be extended. So not only the things that have been covered up, which is several towns and cities, ancient Nubians today, even modern-day Nubians, still go to the grave sites and the cemeteries, and they do rituals for their dead. They bring food, they bring offering, and pray with their dead as part of their daily routine, as part of their life routine. They don't attend church. Their religious rites are included as a part of their life. But that water table will be extended, and the salt water in Lake Nubia will go into the water table and will destroy the artifacts that have not been discovered yet. So not only is it covering up the artifacts there, but it's destroying the water under the water table. I do intend to I've taken scuba diving classes and will be doing some underwater archaeology as well, along my stays there. And this is a lifelong endeavor. Once I finish with my doctoral program, I'll definitely be staying there 6 to 7 months out of the year doing further studies.
Wow. That's a lot of important information right there. I mean, what they did with the flooding and everything, and I'm glad you've taken the scuba diving classes, because I'm pretty sure you're going to have some nice finds down there.
Very nice. And it's over 200,000 Africans being displaced by this flooding of this. You know, they're being moved from their homes. People are literally at the banks of the Nile with containers, trying to keep the Nile from coming into their homes. I do also plan to do some for the displaced Africans. We plan to work with them in schools. You know, it's a large plan. It's not only to take back information, but it's also to unite with the culture, import goods, support systems for them, to unite our brothers and sisters all over the world with them and to support them. It's not only just an endeavor to take back artifacts and put them in museums. Also, we're going to make sure that they have control over the artifacts are returned home.
If there is anything that, you know, I can do to help, if you want to come back on the radio show at a different time frame to put some information out there and have kind of sort of like a call to arms for the community to help, I'm here. Let me know. You know, I'm connected with a lot of other brothers and sisters who have radio shows. I know you have a radio show yourself on Blog Talk, and I know there is a way that the family can support you in what you're doing over in Nubia while you're away. So could you touch on your radio show so that people can look into the previous shows that you have had and
tell us how
we can support you?
That's how Tara came in contact with me on Sister Beverly Martin's show. That is archived, too. That whole show is archived. That's a good thing about this, so I can go back over and understand what I've said, and you can listen to that talk. I think it's about an hour and a half, about the same length of time as this one. I have a Blog Talk show on the same forum that I'm probably not going to keep up with, but I will be starting another one that you can go to directly to my website, www.ancientnubiancities.com, and those will begin the following week. I believe that will be October 19th. It will be the following Monday, which I will begin with those talk show where you can call in the 454 number that I just gave you and share information. Also, I do have another way of supporting myself as an income opportunity. I sell the Body Magic, which is an excellent opportunity. But one thing I want to express to you is that you don't have to sell one body shaper. If you have a group of women that understand the power of multi-level marketing, you don't have to sell one body shaper. You make your investment, you get the auto ship, and you duplicate it. You find 12 to 20 good entrepreneur women who understand the importance of investing a $500 investment to get back per month over between $15,000 and $25,000 a month of, you know, it's really, really a small investment. It's not even $500. I think it's $430. Me and Tara were supposed to talk to see if she has an investment group. But all these things I do, and because the Body Magic is such a good product, it straightens the posture, corrects the organs, controls the appetite, controls the food intake, as well as promotes weight loss and to bring us into proper health. I couldn't promote anything that I didn't believe in, and I wear myself because I have back problems when I do a lot of work that I'm bending and lifting. So it's a wonderful product, has a wonderful juice called Lavive that goes with it, if you're not familiar with it. And it's full of 5 potent antioxidants. The acai berry helps promote weight loss. So I wanted to put that in there. You can contact me at all of those contact information at 453-454-3150 to ask me about that too, because all of this is going into the Nubian Archaeological Project because, you know, you have to have several streams of income to make it. And anything, I don't have grants, I don't have anything, so, you know, philanthropists out there, you know, support us, support Tara, support Reverend Flower, support myself, because it's very crucial, because I want to stay over there and complete my doctorate degree and set up housing so people can come and they can stay close to the archaeological site and study, as well as I have games that I'm producing for public school children, programs and educational tools. So all of this is where your money is going, and as I said, it's a tax write-off as well. So hopefully you can support me there.
Yes, I definitely will. We will have to talk about the investment opportunity. I know we spoke about it at length during our private conversation, but we definitely need to make sure that we are getting economically empowered, and that we don't lose sight of that's a part of doing what we're trying to do for ourselves as women and for our people.
Not at all.
We definitely have to make sure we remember
we
that.
We got it, because we can't rely on these grants and these things, because the strings are attached to many of those things. But if you give philanthropic dollars with no strings attached, you have your financial freedom. That's why the field of archaeology and anthropology was dominated by wealthy white men, because they didn't have to cater to anyone's needs. They could study what they wanted to. They financed themselves, and they were able to hoard information and cover up facts. and as well as take things for themselves and actually do illegal trade of our African artifacts. If we could recover the things that are in people's private collections, that probably would be another 25% to 30% of recovering our culture.
All right. Well, do you have any other final words for the show?
My final words today is thank you very much, Tara, for this opportunity. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak and with the voice of Reverend Flowers. That is just wonderful that you guys have connected. and it connected me to her. I have to get her information from you later so we can make that happen. Like I said, I am available for other talk shows. If you have talk shows, if you have blog talks, I'll be happy to speak with you. I do want to do at least travel to do at least one or two lecture presentations before my departure for Sudan, which will be in early December. And just my contact information is there. But just if you didn't get my telephone number, it was 313-454-3150. That's 313-454-3150. And you can contact me via email at nubiandigs@hotmail.com. That's nubiandigs@hotmail.com. And I look forward to working with you, meeting many people in the listening audience. And hopefully and within a year, I think I'm going to plan a trip so to bring these brothers and sisters over and to see some of the primary, view the primary research and the tour ancient Nubia, the remains of ancient Nubia.
Well, we would definitely be looking forward to that, your lecture before you leave. You know, again, she's willing to be on other radio shows. The information that she has needs to be heard, and people need to know what she's doing and what she has done. So I thank everybody for tuning in today, whether you're listening archive or live. And the Black Womaniverse can be reached at we have a toll-free number. That number is 877-522-2653, extension 5. And you can also join our networking site for black women. It is blackwomenshealth.ning.com. And you can also reach me through Blog Talk Radio as far as Black Womaniverse. Stay well and healthy, family. Peace and blessings. And thank you again, Nubia, for coming on.
Thank you for inviting me, Tara. I really enjoyed it.
All right. Thank you. Peace and blessings.
Peace.
And we will go out with another spoken word piece from Brother Haru, Goddess of the Perfect Black.
Goddess of the perfect black, defend and show my people how to defend and react, yo. Goddess of the perfect black, you're the one who got into the head of Kofi, renamed Fred, and said we are not turning back, yo. Goddess of the perfect black, speak to my people who are no longer cognizant of who we are. Instead of aligning ourselves with cosmic stars, we've aligned ourselves with cosmetics and cars. Prosthetics or jail bars are fused into the heads and the hearts of those who would choose and use and abuse tattoos to replace scars. Yes, Gil Scott Heron said Whitey's on the moon, but now Whitey is on Mars. And the universe was polluted when Hollywood became stars. Yes, Whitey's on the moon, and yes, Whitey is on Mars. But I'm sending out a universal caution. I've seen what they've done to the Earth, so I'm rooting for the Martians. And you can call this intraspecies or intergalactic treason. She'll change her tactics every season. She practices whatever she's preaching. There's nothing lacking in her teaching. She's got my backing whenever she's reaching. She and I are double teaming, double screaming. Agreement when it comes to the seed of my semen. Some scheming European human beings have been demons, so they push prophylactics for a reason. Ha! She'll change her tactics every season. She practices whatever she's preaching. There's nothing lacking in her teaching. She's got my backing whenever she's
she's reaching. She and I are double teaming, so we're screaming in agreement. When it comes to the seed of my semen, some scheming European human beings have been demons, so they push prophylactics for a reason. She'll change her tactics every season, until this world is made into the image of she, until this world is made into the image of me, until this world is made into the image of we. Black people, it's not every fruit that's part of your family tree. What about the ones that rot? What about the ones who forgot? What about the ones who think not? What about the ones that got spots? What about the ones who admire not? What about the ones who inspire not? Remember, it's not every single vegetable that reached the black kettle yabba pot. Race first, give thanks, yo. Got out of the perfect black. Defend and show my people how to defend and react, yo. Got out of the perfect black. You're the one who got into the head of Kofi, renamed Fred, and said we are not turning back, yo. Got out of the perfect black. Black. Resurrect your nobility. I came to notify the world of your divinity. And you were the one who was taken from the Isles of Tranquility. And then you were shaken into the belly of captivity. Then you were used in the belly of captivity. Then you were abused in the belly of captivity. Yes, you were raped in the belly of captivity. Then you escaped in the belly of captivity, only to return to the belly of captivity so that you could burn in the belly of captivity. And when they asked you, yes, they asked you about the belly of captivity. You said that you feed hundreds in the belly of captivity, but you would feed thousands in the belly of captivity only if they could be convinced they're in belly of captivity. Economic belly of captivity, physical belly of captivity, psychical, spiritual belly of captivity. I barely kept it, barely kept it. Race first, give thanks, show. Got out of the perfect black. Defend and show my people how to defend and react, yo. Got out of the perfect black. You're the one who got into the head of Kofi, renamed Fred, and said we are not turning back, yo. Got out of the perfect black. Black. Your name is much more than semantic, symbolic, or titular. And you're the calm in a storm that we're caught in the middle of. And the stories you tell of saviors never change, they're always similar. And the smell of traitors is strange, but also familiar. Yes, you're the calm in a storm that we're caught in the middle of. And nigga is a word reserved for those who would floss but lost their own kingdom, said the ancient Riddler. And cracker is a word reserved for those who would hijack and crack the backs of blacks to gain their own kingdom, said the ancient Riddler. She said, I need reparations and I need your fibula. I need it for a ritual. Embodiment of the physical is manifestation of the spiritual. Community concerns has gone from group to individual and singular. Singular and individual. Ooh, I need reparations and I need your fibula. Black history lessons is more than trivia. Ooh, I need reparations. Reparations and I need your fibula. I need it for a ritual. Embodiment of the physical is manifestation of the spiritual. Having vision is more than just being visual. Yes, the universe ain't linear. No, the universe is cyclical. Evidence by the planets which move elliptical. Let science be scientifical and mathematics be mathematical. Let mathematics be mathematical and science be scientifical. Tell me what happens when science goes political. Well, the earth being flat was strictly political. Ancient Egypt, not black, was strictly political. The descendants of rebellious Jamaicans and Haitians living in shacks is strictly political. Hip-hop not defending blacks is strictly political. Stop listening to rappers who are rapping about killing you. Let gangsters be gangsters. Let lyricists be lyrical. African-Americans, your love for America will never be reciprocal. Black Americans, your love for America will never be reciprocal. Negro Americans, your love for America will never be reciprocal. Nigga Americans, your love for America will never be reciprocal. Did I cover all bases? Well, I hope you think so. The blood of Africa is the world world's umbilical. Prove it? Well, simple. The laws of the black goddess, Mayat, predate everything in anything biblical. Goddess of the perfect black.
I'm